Spirit. No. All right. Are you happy?
Amen.
No other place I'd rather be. Amen. With a smiling faces. God put a smile in our faces, right?
Amen.
Amen. So, I wonder, they left me alone today. Yeah? Andy's gone and, oh my. We're going to plow right through it anyway. Doesn't matter. All I need is just one help. And that's his help. Amen. The rest of it is just gravy on the potatoes, right? Amen. So I have a lot. So let us get started. So let us pray first. Father, we humbly come to you. We bow our head from the ground that we were made. Father, and that's what we are. And if we are something, it's because you are the only good and perfect God there is. Father, we come to you after worshiping you and praising you. And Father, now we come in to sit down at your feet. We ask you to teach us those things that we ought to know, Father. Father, we want you to just take the liberty. Father, we give you the liberty to walk among, Father. I minister to every heart tonight. Father, you know what we have need more than what we know. And I know that you will supply all those needs, Father. You have never failed us, Father. You're always there. Father, we ask you to a blessing on the congregation from the pulpit to the back door. An unction, Father, not only in the pulpit but also in the audience, Father. We'll get out of the way, Father, and let you be the one to control every movement, every hedge or anything that I do. Father, just use me. Let your word flow, Father. That's the word that we need because it's life unto us completely, Father. We thank you and we ask you for the remainder of the service, Father. And we trust you that we are going to receive our portion tonight, exactly what we have need, no more and no less, because you are that kind of a God, perfect in all your ways. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Before you sit, let's read one verse of scripture. It's very familiar to you. Isaiah 160, and it says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of the Lord, the divine glory of God is upon you."
Amen.
This morning was brother saying, "For behold, the darkness shall come over the earth, and deep and darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. And you and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising."
Amen.
This scripture is fulfilled in your eyes today.
Amen.
This is where we are. You heard this morning, so I'm going to just a continuation of what happened this morning, so you can be seated. What happened this morning was that brother wanted to add more to his. I would have wished that he would have told you, but I'll tell you anyway. He wanted to add more to his sermon. He was a little late. And something, the internet couldn't work. Go figure, you know. Then he has his phone, and the phone wouldn't do it, kind of slow, whatever. He was having problems. So finally, he was a little late because he couldn't add anything more. So you know what happened? Because the part that he wanted to preach, I was supposed to preach it tonight. So the Lord will not even let, this is the Lord that you are serving tonight. This is not something, you know, games and playing is over. We are serving a living God. And his presence is here. And he has everything under control. He controls what you're going to hear and what you're going to see and what you're going to do. He controls everything. It's not us. So I told him this morning, well, might as well, you know, you should have preached at all. Then I don't have to preach tonight. We could have gave the people the night off. He said, no, the Lord wouldn't even allow me to. He ended talking about the diamond. Well, My whole preaching is about nature, and my whole illustration is about the diamond. That happened to Andy too, and I remember. Andy, I was preaching in the morning, he was preaching at night, and Andy, for some reason, he wanted to complete a thought at the end that he had in his mind, and he tried, and he just could not get going. So that morning when I preached, he said, "No wonder, because that's the part that you preached in the morning." Amen. So you're serving the living God.
Amen.
In fact, we should come to church expecting.
Amen.
I mean, games are over. Let us serve our God. And he is also bringing all to a completion. Amen. So the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. I put that little picture there. I don't know if you can put it back up, the seven church ages. And the reason I put that is because it's the darkness is already covered.
Yes.
Yeah, the people. But that's where we are, according to the seven ages. In fact, Brother Branham, in 1977, he prophesied. He did not prophesy, but predicted, but that after 77, he couldn't see anything else. It was so dark in 77. And now look at where we are. So if that was dark then, probably right now, people in chaos. That's why you see the world like it is. People are just trying to find their way and trying to do things and they can. They're just a blind leading the blind. But you and I, we have the light. The light of the evening time, even though it's getting dark, is evening. But one of these days, the whole thing is going to black out. Because when the bright leave, there's no more light. The world we plunge into chaos. They go to the tribulation, and you know the rest of the story. That's how where we are right now. So, if that's what's happening in the negative side, then in the positive side, the glory of the Lord should be shining through us. Amen. We should be a light unto the world. A world that is lost, undone, without Christ and without God. In one side, I'm happy, I'm glad, but in another side, I'm sad. Because time is coming to a close. Time is coming to a close. Brother Branham says, and if you notice, the very teaching of nature, and that's what we're going to do tonight, a teaching of nature. Watch nature if you want to see God. God in his great nature. That's the title of my preaching. You watch. Just before the sun comes up in the morning, Isaiah, I believe he was the prophet one time, he said, "Watchman of the night, what of the night?" He said, "The night cometh, and the morning cometh, and the night also." So he's talking about, you know, dead resurrection. Dead, you can see God. Remember, I spoke to you about the flowers, you know, about nature, that you can learn more in 1 hour about the flowers, looking at a flower. And we talked about the bouquet of flowers, the arrangements of flowers, and you can learn more than you can learn in books and in seminaries. Why? Because God is seen nature. Now, Brevan says, you can see. Watch nature and you can see God. Now, this morning, brother said, you cannot see God visible. Because God is a spirit. So you're not going to see God visible. But you can see the effects of God in nature.
Amen.
Is what we're saying. So, see also means understanding. Remember Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he says, unless you are born of above, you cannot what? See. He wasn't talking about eyes. He's talking about the eyes of the understanding. So also see could mean that as you look at nature, you can understand, you know, more clearly sometimes. It's a lot of symbolism. It's a lot of colors, you know, flowers. It's a lot of things that there that you know, rainbows, and you can see God in just about in everything. You can see God out there. Amen. I hope you can see God in your brother and sister tonight. Amen. You don't have to go too far to see God. So we're not actually going to see God physically, visible. Let me give you an example. Jesus tells Nicodemus, he says, unless you are born again of above, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And he went through the whole fleshy thing, you know, but how can I get back in? I'm already grown, you know. This is supposed to be a teacher, a rabbi, you know. But then after he had that conversation with him, he added a little bit in the next verse. He says, you know, how do you know about the Holy Spirit? Nobody can anybody see the Holy Spirit? It's a spirit again. But Jesus says, you see the trees? See? And you see where, can you see the air? See the air just like a spirit. You don't see air. But he said, you cannot see the air, but how can you tell where the air is going and where it's moving? Easy. See the effects that the air has on a tree. Amen. See, they start waving, and you know that that's air. You cannot see it. So that's going to be my platform right now. You can see God in you. And God is reflecting his life through you. And the only way you can see God, the brother was saying this morning, was in what you do. The way you converse, the way you move, the way you act, the way you do things, the way you come to church. See? Because it's not no more you, but it's God in you. Who has control. And if we give him that control, then we can see the effect, the change. The life, not yours, but now it is his life reflecting in you. So if your life is reflecting his life, then you do what he did. Right. See, and by their fruit we shall know them. Right. See, we're producing what? A pattern, a model that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ in the bride in flesh. Right. Again, not visible. And that's what our brother was talking this morning. So here we go. Let's get into the diamond. That's a nice, pretty diamond. Now, read with me. I am likening God. See, he's likening the diamond to God. So that you won't be mixed up in what I have said today. God is a great what? Diamond. An eternal. And when a diamond is brought out of the blue stones of Africa, I had been in the mines, and I watched them engrave how they process these and get the diamonds out, how they take them through the crusher and the great blue fire. We're going to talk about fire in a minute. Or the diamond. A black diamond comes out because they are carbon anyway. You see, they have not much form or shape. Certainly, they are just great stones. In fact, they are just diamonds, stones, round, smooth, out, lots of them. But this diamond must be cut. In that stage, you know, of a stone, it's no good to anybody. See? It has to be cut. Like Brother Doug was talking this morning, faces. In them, at the time, as he says, they had to be cut. They had not much form, certain form, they are just a great stone. And really, they have no fire. We're going to discuss what this fire means, you know. That intrigued me. Fire, I never knew that. No fire in them at the time. They are just diamonds, stones, round, smooth, hollow, lots of them. But this diamond must be cut. Now, it is against the law to have one not being cut. That's in Africa. It's a law. There's diamonds all over the place. There's mines. And with all the activity, volcanoes activity, you know, these things wash up. You know, they come up slowly. And they're all over the ground. But you cannot have them. By law, if they catch you with one like that and trying to take it out of the country or trying to take it home, I don't know what they do to you, but it's illegal. Why? Because they want to make money. They want you to take and buy from the person that cut it. And it becomes a nice, brilliant, you know, clear crystal diamond. Then you can buy it. But, you know, if I was poor and I find that big stone there, you know, or in the river, you know, I cannot pay to have a car. That process must cost a lot of money. And it's probably a fine way to cut this. I didn't get into it to cut diamonds. I don't know if they use lasers or what do they use, but it must be a process that is costly. And they want to make money. That's what Word Man says. So they don't let you have it even for souvenirs. When you go to Africa, don't get a black stone. Don't get those things. Leave them there where you find them. You are warned already. Is that the way, Brother Elon? Right. He's from Ghana. I've been in Ghana. I think I was in a service that he said he was, but he probably was younger than me. That was years ago that I went to Ghana. Diamonds. So let's, the diamonds, you know, they are precious. You know, I think, you know, women and diamonds, they said, you know, best friend of a woman is a diamond. Or that's chocolates. Maybe both. And flowers. Best friend. Guys, you know, listening? Precious stone consisting of, it's clear. In fact, if you put the next picture, it's colorless, crystalline. See? And it's a pure carbon stone. That's where the diamonds come from. And the hardest thing in nature is carbon, actually. And it's used for different, Brother Doc said this one used for doing jewelries and in industry, they use it for in drills, bits, because it's hard. So it's used in all kind of things. But Brother Brown says over here now, now, a diamond is cut so that it will reflect what is inside of it. Now we get into the fire, right? It has to be cut. What do you think you come to church? I don't want to preach, but what do you think you come to church? You got to be cut. And sometimes it hurts, and sometimes you complain. And you want to shine? You want to be the light of the world? You want the glory of God to be seen in you, you got to be cut. It's not you just a lousy little rock in the way of somebody that's going to trip and fall. You're in the way. You're not, but I mean, whatever, in the way. The fire that is in the diamond, and it has to be cut to every little way, every little shape. Three points is like a pyramid, see? But the 3 points to a diamond and a light, again, a 3-point object will give them 7 colors. See? Make 7 colors. Go back. That's my note you put in there. Come. Let me see the diamond. Come back. Down or up? Just, here you go. Thank you. So what you see there on the diamond, did you put my notes there? Oh, just calm down. You got all my notes in that. Anyway, that's right. We just get through it. Easier because I can read. So, see, the light, that white light that goes into a diamond that is already cut, multi-faces, they have to be cut the right way. See, it's not a natural, nice, round. It has faces. And after you cut the diamond that way, when a white light is go through the diamond, what happens is it's called refraction. The light comes into the diamond, and it gets in and it bends the light. The only reason that it bends and it split the light is because you're coming from one medium, that is air, to a denser medium, that is, and that's a hard medium. So as the light trying to penetrate, it splits the light, and as it splits the light and hit the wall of the diamond inside, then it shoots back up and it brings the colors of what we call fire. That's your fire. See? The color. But it creates 7 colors. Now, talking about refraction, that's when the light enters the diamond. Reflection is when the light comes out of the diamond. 7 colors. Actually, it's 7 colors. No more, no less. Because there are only 7 colors, basic colors. The rainbow is 7 colors. So what do you think the black came from, black color? Well, that's just a mixture of green and blue. So if you take the seven colors and you mix them together, you can come up with a range of colors, right? You can mix orange and yellow and come up with some kind of a goldish or brownish looking colors. But if seven colors are the basic colors, and if you have seven colors, you can create just about anything you want to. Amen. So, and the dispersion that we see of the colors is reflected from the diamond, creating what we call fire. I'm stopping myself to preach. You know, it's fire. You know, I remember those two guys that were in their way to Emmaus. And they were just sad. You know, they were just down and out. And, oh, my, you know, they killed Jesus Christ and blah, blah, blah. And they were all, you know, done for it. I come Jesus and say, hey, what are you guys are talking about? And then he said, well, you must be the only one here left in the town that don't know what happened here. You must have got here just now. He said, no, no. So then he says he started opening.
Yes.
See? The scriptures. And reminding of all these things that's supposed to happen.
Amen.
But what was their answer after he opened up? He said, our heart what? Our hearts just burn.
Right.
You know? Because the white light is shining. The light of the gospel is shining. And it's striking the soul. And then it's reflecting what? Light.
Amen.
So my question to you, do your heart burn when you hear the word of God and you come to church? Or you just come and leave? And that was good. Or you just sell at the two guys from Emmaus. Because that's what I come to church.
Amen.
To get caught. To be caught. You know. And to let the shine, the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it comes out of the pulpit. To get deep in there and let it reflect the light that is in that word reflect out. That's what I want.
Amen.
Brother Brown said, when a big diamond is found in Africa, he said, let me see if I reach you this one. No. In Africa, they take those diamonds, and then when they get them out of the dust, raw, they start chipping them. See? They cut. And the reason they cut them is to reflect what? You will not reflect Christ unless you are cut.
Amen.
And that's why we tell people, come to church. This is how the word of God will cut you. You know, it takes all that is not pleasing to God. And it lets the part that is Him so He can shine through you. He says, and the reason the sheep that cut them is to reflect the lights. So don't get mad. We're trying to do you a favor. We want you to shine. We want you to reflect God's life in you. Put lights off of that. The carats of that showing what carats there is in that diamond. The carat is the weight. You know, 2 carats, 4, 5, 20. It's a weight, just like gold. It's weight in ounces. That is the weight that they do diamonds. The more carats, the more you're going to pay for it. So a carat, one, is about the weight of a paper pin. That's what a carat is. So that's why you get the prices. Plus, you know, the cuts, all that placed in there. It doesn't have a lot of fire and sparkle, see? If it doesn't have a lot of fire and sparkle, it's not much diamond. It's not much diamond, but when it's got, it's glass, see? So, oh, man, I wonder how many people are just glass. Because we got to be cut. And people need to see Jesus in you. If that's not reflecting something, you're just a piece of glass, a bottle. I don't want to be a bottle. A bottom of a bottle. I don't have a lot of fire and sparkle. You know? It is not much of a diamond. But when I got, it's just glass. But when it's a real diamond, a real carat diamond, It will reflect and it show the colors. Amen. In a little bit, we're going to know what is the colors. Let's see. A few comments here that I wanted to share with you. Over a billion years ago, deep beneath the Earth's surface, carbon atoms bonded together tightly under extreme condition and high temperatures and extreme pressure. So you feel in extreme condition and extreme pressure, it's because God is doing something. Amen. Why do you have to go through what you go through? Because God is putting you through something, because a diamond has to come out and they have extreme pressure and condition. Look at Jesus Christ. Why do you think that is our master diamond? Look at the things that he went through. He got cut, he got done, he got pressure, he got spit, he got hit, he got crucified. But what a beautiful diamond. What a beautiful diamond. Extreme condition, a high temperature, and extreme pressure. We feel the pressure. We feel the pressure because the darkness trying to pressure. And the world today, whatever we go to school, we go to work, it's pressure. In fact, that's all it is out there these days. It says also, we describe the weight of the diamond, but the cut is proportional to the arrangement of faces that determine the diamonds. See, depending on how the diamond is cut, then it will have sparkle. If we have fire, it might be that it's cut in a way that only reflects one light, or it's cut in a way that reflects two lights. But if it reflects one light or two light, then it will be a... Diamonds come in different colors, blue. You know, it comes in brown. It comes in different color because depending on how it's cut, it will reflect only one of those lights. But a clear diamond, crystal clear, when the white light comes through, it reflects all the colors. All the colors. So those cuts are proportional to the arrangement of the faces. And we determine the brilliance, the sparkle, and the fire. Fire represents, in this illustration, the white. The white light represents God, the presence of God. And that's why we always pray. And that's why we're talking this morning, the presence of God. Because God is light. And his word, God is his word, and the word is a white light. See? Because God is light. So God represents that light, but also God represents that fire. Because what goes in, the same thing goes out. You don't add anything to it. You don't do nothing to it. You just there and say, do unto me whatever. And when he light comes and the word comes, it will reflect him back again. I want to be out of the way. I want that God use me in that way that when the word comes in, the word goes out. The same way it went in. Don't touch it. Don't add. Don't take. But the way comes in, let it come out. Let the fire of God, not yours, but his fire, gets to your soul and it is projected, it's reflected. Also, the fire means refining. That's why you come to church, because you want to be refined. See? And it's also judgment, because the Bible said that God is a consuming fire. But here we come to church because he's shaping us, molding us, cutting, refining us, so we can have brilliance and a sparkle, and we can show his colors to the world. Yeah, let's make a little bit more clear. This is a picture of a diamond. The light goes in the corner, and then it bends, hits the wall inside, and projects seven colors. That's what caught fire, the fire of a diamond. And if the diamond will do that, it's cut properly and it's worth some money. Amen? That's what determines what's a good diamond or a bad diamond. Well, it's never a bad diamond anyway, even if it's just one line. Amen. So let me type this to the scriptures, because that's why we are here. You know, we're trying to see nature, but since we don't see God, we go to the scriptures. See, you cannot only rely on symbols and number. I like numerology of the Bible. I like all these things. But by themselves, you know, it could be not enough to interpret or to have a revelation and understanding of God. You take everything in the Bible, all these symbols, and you have to still run it through the scripture. See? It's just like having the message. We say, oh, I'm a message believer. Oh, I got the message. Well, I want to see a message reflected. I don't want to see to have a message. The same thing. You can know all these things. But unless, you know, God revealed it to you, the understanding through the word of God, you can never reflect it. It's what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that, you know, by just looking at nature, like Brother Brandon saw, and all the symbolism of the Bible, that's all you need. No. That's just the beginning. That's just something that will interlace with everything else, you know. It is good to understand. Revelation says, his head and his hair were white like wool, at white snow. See? White. Christ. That represents the light, the white light. But after that light come down on him, he says, and his eyes were what? Flame of fire. Not that his eyeballs was on fire, but he was flame of fire. So the light was shining in him, you know, the white wool and the like snow. And then all that reflecting through his ear, through his eyes. And his feet like brass, of course, because fire is also judgment. As if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as to sounds of many waters. And we know what that is. Many waters means all people, all the preaching, all the voices. So that light came to Christ. And as he came to Christ in his days, you know, it was God, you know. When he got baptized by John the Baptist, he was saying this morning, Brother Doug was saying the symbolism he used as a sign for him was a white what? Dove. See, because that represents God. Why? Because God is pure. God is perfect. And that's what white represents. That's why, you know, women marry in white. Because they're still pure, you know. And that's what he represents. So we use the white for just about many occasions. It says, and his feet like brass furnace and many waters. 16, and he had in his right hand 7 stars. Here's your fire. So the light comes in, his eyes like burning fire, and then 7 colors projected out of it. 7 stars. And those 7 stars represent the 7 spirits of God through the ages. Because God sent his 7 spirit, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. See, that's God's nature. This fire represents his nature. See? And that is what come out of us. The nature of God in and the nature of God reflected out. So what do you have to do with it? Nothing. Do unto me, Lord. See? Do unto me. How did God start it? Let's go to the beginning so we can understand a little bit more about the light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Since that was the scripture that we read at the beginning, right? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God says, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening of that morning was the first day. We're not talking about the sun and the moon. Because the sun and the moon were created back in verse 6. So he called this the day and night. So what light was this one? It's not the light of the sun. You can go and look at about verse 5 or 6 of Genesis. Then he created the light in the firmament, the moon. What light? Because God is light. So the first thing that happened in the creation, he creates first himself. And when he created himself, what happened? Light just burst. Because God is light. See, somebody like to believe this Big Bang theory. But that was the Big Bang. When God created himself, suddenly light just sprouted all over the place. Now listen to what Brother Branham says. See? Now back there, then, when this little halo comes, see, God is creating himself. Now, we can see, we cannot see nothing yet, but because it's all dark. But just by eyes of just supernatural, see, Brother Branham is saying, this is not just telling you a story. God is giving them a vision of things. See? And the super, we see a halo standing there. You know, Brother Doug was talking about halos. He said, standing there. Now, that's the Son of God. The Logos. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Logos was with God. He said, now, I can see him playing around like a little child. When God created himself, and that explosion took over, the big blast, light come forward, and that light just started, having fun. See, he has created himself. Suddenly he wasn't, suddenly he is, and he's light. So he says, like a little child, see, before the Father doors, because we know that he created, the first one of the creation was who? Christ. The Bible says he was the first of the creation. At that point, the Logos, we don't know is Christ, but we know who the Logos is. So he created himself, the Logos. Now, I can see him playing around like a little child before the Father's door with eternity. And now, then, his imaginary makeup, he begins to think on what things would be. And he can hear him saying, let there be light. Then he started creating. But the first thing he did was creating himself. And when he created himself, it was the burst of light. If you don't believe that, then let me give you another thing. Revelation 21:23. Well, I'm trying to figure out what the white light is. And the city has no need of sun. The New Jerusalem. No need of sun. Why? Neither of the moon. Oh, no light. Darkness. No. To shine in it. For the glory of God, the glory of God did lighten. See? When that first creation come forward and that burst of light, God is light. And it shines even brighter and better than the sun. See? And in that day, we don't going to need the moon and we are not going to need the sun. Because God will be our light. No day, no night. It's going to be all light. I'm going to enjoy that because I go to sleep and I lose days and I get up. Oh, the day is gone already. I go back to sleep. You know, in that day, you don't have to worry about day and time. Amen. I'm going to need a new body because I don't think I can do it in this body. Be awake 24 hours a day, you know. So, seven colors. Let's look at the seven colors. That's where the white light came from. Now, the seven colors. Now, look like a rainbow, and a rainbow is a covenant. Remember, Noah, that was a covenant. The seven colors of that rainbow, we made a covenant with Noah. I will not do this again. Okay? So, the rainbow is a covenant. So, we got also to be careful because Satan is very smart. And you know that they make diamonds in the lab? But they're not real diamonds. Zirconis, you know, plastic stuff that they make diamonds out of it. It's just a copy. And it's not even a good copy because you cannot copy a diamond because it don't have no fire and it has no light. So Satan sometimes knows. Satan knows that God has the best plan. If he's going to imitate somebody, he's going to imitate what? God. So, it might feel and look like a diamond, but it's not a diamond. It's a copy of a diamond. Now, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder, For Satan himself transformed himself into a what? An angel of light. To do what? To deceive people. So you have to be careful. See? Because the light of God produces something very different that he produces. You know what? There are seven spirits of God, but also there are seven spirits of Satan. Brother Branham says over here in the presence of God, or recognize, I tell you, friend, just because that we are members of the church or something like that, that doesn't mean too much to us. You better buckle up that armor. You better take the whole word of God and hold on to it. He said, and quit this Hollywood acting wrong here. Acting time is over, okay? He says, and it got right, and get right with into the church. And it is shame, but Hollywood glows. Satan lights, you know, glows. Just make a bright light, and the church today is trying to compare with Hollywood. Christ is not in Hollywood. Christ is in the individual. Hollywood glows. Hollywood glare. While the gospel glows. You know, Hollywood is all glare and sparkle, you know. And that's the same thing in churches. It's all, you know, entertainment. The big choir, the big robes, and the big teeth, and the big show. You know, the girls dancing there, and the spirit, I've seen it. I mean, that is not God. That is not the gospel glowing. That is Satan to glare. So he likes to copy God. Who else is going to copy? God is perfect. He says, Hollywood, Christ is an individual. Hollywood glows, Hollywood glares, while the gospel glows with humility. God ain't in these great fine fancy places. Nothing wrong with great fancy places. But if God is not there, what good it do to have a great fancy places? I want a place that I can experience God. I got a place that I can come and I can get caught because I want to reflect the life of Christ in me. I want to sparkle. I want to be brilliant. I want to show the colors. See? Hollywood glare says, God ain't of these great fine fancy places and all this stuff that we see. He comes in humility, in meekness, in gentleness, and that passed right through just about everybody. See, how can you be God? I know he's a bastard child. I mean, Mary and Joseph was not even married. He was born in a manger. If God would have come to us, that's not how he would have come, with all the glare and all the spark. He would have come to us, you know, the big guys, religious guys, see. But that's not the way he came. He came in a humble way. And that's why they got blinded, because they were expecting a God that glares and sparkles and is going to take over. But no. The only difference with the original and the one that is not original is the reflection. You know, you heard the saying, I'm reflecting on my thoughts, but you only got two thoughts to reflect. If it is God or it is Satan. What's the difference? This thought that reflects in God, it glows and it shines and it's far to it. This is empty. Satan is just an empty, you know, guy that is lying to you. And his thought cannot ever come to pass. They cannot prosper. They cannot shine. They're just dark and darkness. But when you reflect, and Satan come and put thoughts in your mind, do not reflect on those thoughts. Amen. You know, the Bible said to just wait upon the Lord. You know, the Bible said to resist the thought. Do not reflect. Oh, but you got cancer. Thank you. But you don't have to reflect on that, because that's not God's thought. So therefore, they're not going to produce nothing good for you. And if you reflect on that, whatever you reflect in your mind is what come forward. You know that? You want God to come forward and reflect on his thoughts. You want to, you know, reflect Christ? Then you study your word. You pray. And you let those thoughts take over. Satan also, since he imitates God, he has 7 spirits also. And in Proverbs 6 says, the 6 things that the Lord hates, yes, but the 7th one is an abomination. Proud look. Well, that's Satan. Because Jesus is humble, and he will humble the proud. Lying. God does not lie. But he lies. From the beginning, he's a liar. And hands that shed innocent blood. See, he don't care who he stepped on. He even killed his own children. He's a destroyer. God is a giver of life, and he's a giver of death. And he's like a roaring lion trying to destroy. See, feet that is swift and running to evil, to do bad. 4 witnesses to speak lies. See, so discord, that's the one that God hates the most among brethren. And who is the one that come in, sneak in, and brother says, right now you're okay, but watch it, because he's going to infiltrate someone. You know, so he can sow what? Discord, separation. And don't tell me that in this message we don't have separation. Right now, we are not all united as one. We will be. The Church of the Living God will unite. But right now we are fussing about things and this revelation. We cannot even get together to have a fried chicken unless we complain about one another. I'm not talking about just the local church. How about the church, the mystical body of Christ? I mean, if that church over there believes in the message and you believe in the message, well, we believe in the same thing, we reflect in the same thing, why can't we get together? Why? Because as long as Satan is here, he will put this, you know, discord to separate us from our brethren. And God hates that. Because God believes in unity. Satan believes in discord. So John 1:7 says, this is John the Revelator, talking about the light. He says, this man came for a witness, to bear witness of what? Of the light. That all through him may what? Believe. So John said, I'm not the light. And you're not the light. In fact, you're not the light and you are not the colors. You're just a diamond that got cut that he wants to reflect his light through you. That's all. You're just a bystander. You know, you didn't call yourself. He called you. Acts 26:18. So this light came so we can be, to open their eyes in order to turn from the darkness to the light. And this is part of the ministry, part of the gospel. And from the power of Satan to God, that they will receive forgiveness of their sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So, if it was ever a commission, that's the commission. God wants to use you, so he can shine the light on those that are lost, so they can find their way home. Amen. Brother Van says, God keep his word. And another thing that I know, that by grace of God, there's something that comes to me. This is Brother Van. In form of a what? An angel of light. And the same angel of light, because God, see, God is light. Isaiah, you know, all those prophets, they had experience with God. And when that light, that white messenger dressed in white, they will drop to their feet. They will drop on the floor. They're scared, shaking. In this body, we cannot take that purity and holiness and brightness. In fact, Isaiah said he was 2 months in bed after that experience with God when that messenger came to him. And I had to touch him to give him the strength to get up and receive the answer to his question. But see, the same angel of light used to visit your prophet. Amen. And tell me things. Now, he's saying this. I'm not saying this. And tell me things. What's going on to happen? And I see it. I know that is not natural. Of course it's not. It's supernatural. See? And show me things. Year to come. And no one time has ever failed. Why? Because that is that white light. See, the light that shined to Brother Branham. It wasn't Brother Branham. We tried to put Brother Branham in a pedestal. It wasn't Brother Branham. It was God in Brother Branham. See? Shining, you know, on him. And that is the same thing the gospel will do to you and me. When we come to church, we let that word have preeminence. That word will do what it's supposed to do. It's to get in your heart and not stay there or on your ears. But it wants to come out to shine. Amen. Matthew 5:14. You are the what? The light of the world. You are not. But the Holy Ghost in you, God in you, he shines out. So you become the light. A city that is set upon on hill cannot be hidden. So, being the light of the world is what God has calling us to be. See? To continue the ministry that Jesus Christ started. And that was his ministry. The light of God was shining in Jesus Christ. And the way he did all those healings and all those miracles and all supernatural, it wasn't him. It was the light that was in him. It was God. He said, I will do nothing unless I see my Father. And that's the same with you and I. It is not you. It is not me. It is God in you. That wants to manifest himself. He wants to express himself. He wants to shine. You know. So according to the scriptures, we're talking about colors. And there's a lot of rich symbolism and meanings. You know, and the Bible has all kind of, you know, types and prototypes. But if we do this in the right way, we can also receive understanding and revelation from God. See? I prefer to get everything that I can and just decide, well, this is all I need. You know, whatever God, you know? Because everything in nature represents God. And that's what we want to see God also in everything that we do. So when the word of God, see, only by colors and only by symbols and only by type, you know, it's not enough because everything has to intertwine together. So you just cannot just do one thing and say, but this is enough. No. Because you need wisdom. And wisdom comes from the experience that you have, experience and the understanding and the knowledge. You receive knowledge. This is knowledge. I'm giving you knowledge. You know, that God gave me, I give it to you. I teach it to you. You take that knowledge and God has to reveal the understanding of this knowledge. I can. So when he revealed the understanding, then you can experience God. Because now you understand what God did for you and he's going to do for you. Then he do it, then you experience God. Amen. Oh, he promised me. But he did it. Now I know. Next time, you will not even think about it twice. Because what he do yesterday, he will do today. He continue. But God do this slowly in your life. You experience God. As you learn, as we teach you, and you learn and you see all these different types and color and symbol. But it is not just to stay there in the page. You have to ask God for understanding. And then when you experience God, then you have the wisdom next time. When that happens to you, you know what to do. You gain wisdom. Because if you ask another fellow, you know, what would you do in my situation? But you know, the problem is with that, I used to tell some people, you know, I know what works in my family. You know, as God directed me, you know, I know what worked for my children, the way I used to do it. But if I tell you that, it might not even work with your children. You have to have your own direction, your own understanding, your own experience, how God wants you to lead. We are not just cookie cutters. We are going to do the same thing and everything is going to be by and by. No. So I was always kind of timid or restrained to tell people, you know, well, I'm in this situation and what can I do? I said, well, let's pray about it because I don't. I tell you what I do, but it might don't even work because God don't guide, you know. We have different experiences, actually. God has a way to shape us and mold us and transform and cut in different ways. And sometimes one thing works for Brother Adean, but that might not work with me. God uses some other way. So that's why we don't have to look at other person and imitate. We don't imitate. We want the real thing. Why would you imitate when the sky is full of real things? So we take all these things and we couple them all together and we blend them all together and let God give you an understanding and a revelation of what we are preaching, what we are teaching. Because I cannot do it. I cannot. Even if I wanted to, I can. I cannot give myself revelation. I have to depend on God for that. But I read my Bible, I pray, and I come to church. The rest of it belongs to God. I do the mechanics. God will do the rest. And I trust that God will do that for me. In whatever way, which way he wants to do it. In whatever way it comes. That's what I wanted. Because his ways are perfect. Brother Branham says in Oddballs. Now I'm going to read a little bit of extensively. Now a diamond is cut so that it will reflect what is on the inside of it. The question is, what is inside you? Where's the beef? Where is inside you? Because when you cut a diamond, this morning brother was saying, and you chip, all those pieces, you don't throw them away. Now that's different from one that is doing a sculpture like Moses. You know, you cut the part that you don't desire. So the one that you desire comes into view. But when you cut a diamond, you don't throw nothing away. Because those little chips represent the children of the big diamond, see? And they have some use. That's why they keep them. You can use them. You know, I'm going to show you in a minute. It says the diamond is cut so that it will reflect what is on the inside of it. So if you come from the master diamond that is Jesus Christ, and you are a chip of that master diamond, then you should be able, you know, you'll be chosen and called to reflect God to a lost world. He said, now the diamond is reflect what is on the inside. So the question will be, what is inside? The fire that is in the diamond. And it has to be cut in every little way, every little shape. 3 points. Put the 3 points into a diamond. And a light against this 3-point object will produce 7 colors. And that's the 7 spirits of God. See? 7 colors. 107. And now, notice. God was wounded for our transgression, bruised for iniquity. Iniquity. See? He was cut. He was bruised. The great diamond that from him might reflect the gift to the church. Amen. See? Excuse me. And it is the light, because the light must return back. See? When Jesus Christ died, he returned back to the Father. He says, Father, glorify me with the glory that we had at the beginning. So that light don't die. Don't die no more than God can die. That God is light. Amen. We call it light. Brother Brown says we got 3 lights in our life. Every 20 years, one dies out. I mean, my last light. Sorry. After 60, you and your last light. That's what we get tired and we get raunchy and we snore and we do other things that are not comfortable to other people. But because I'm down to my last light. I already burned those other two. But that light will never die. You know why? That light will return back where it was made from. So you cannot die no more than God can die. Light cannot die. God cannot die. The light must return back even when the sun is off of it. They were to where it has been cut from, but very little pieces that come from the that clipping, that chipping is not destroyed. See, it put to use. Many of them are made to a, you know what a vitrola is? It's a tape. It's a record player. But you know that record player uses, well, in those days, when I was, uses a diamond needle. And the diamond needle, you know, is a piece that you cannot use it for a ring, but it has its uses. So they take that needle and they go ahead and burn, you know, in that record player, in that long plane, they burn the music or whatever words, whatever they do. And then they take that needle, it's a diamond needle, and they put it there, and that needle will reproduce exactly what is in that. Now, here's a spiritual thing. You are the needles, and you are put on the Word of God. And you only will say what the Word of God says. Because that's the only thing you can play. And if you say something else, you're not playing the Word of God. So you become a what? An open Bible. You become a Bible. A written epistle. Why? Because you are playing the Word of God. See, or the Word of God is playing. And your mouth open. And all the come is His light. Amen. A vitrola needle. And those needles bring forth, that being chipped from the diamond, bring forth music that being canned into the record. And I hope you see what I mean. The chip from Christ, the gift from Christ, put up on the Bible, see, speaks out the hidden mysteries of God to the believer. So no wonder, you know, that angel tells John, take it, eat it, right? Because I want you to play it again. You're going to go and play it again to many nations and people, places, a nation. And that's what we're doing today. We are playing. God is using you as a needle that came from the master one, that is Christ, so you can play His word back over again. Again. He knows that the secret of the hearts. He knows every person. Do you believe that? See, that was, He's talking about Himself being the needle, the mysteries, and the secrets of the heart. Do you believe that? See, Branham, Brother Branham was just a needle playing God's word. And this is the kicker here, that if you're playing the God's word, God will vindicate the word. If it is His word, He will vindicate His word. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You let it's His word. Let Him watch over His word. Just play it like He said it, and He vindicates that by bringing it to pass. He said, do you believe that? It will not be the diamond saying, see, it's not the diamond. You see what I am. It's not what Brother Branham was saying. It's me. Or look at me. Look at how, you know, I do. It's what comes from what? From within. Actually, he didn't finish. The diamond is a diamond because he's of the diamond. See? 9. And that is the way, the gift of the Spirit. You know, Brother Doug was talking about sometimes we belittle the gift of the Spirit. But when you reflect God, you're reflecting His Spirit. You cannot help it. Because you are reflecting His seven spirit, the meekness, the gentleness, the humbleness, the wisdom, the knowledge, you know, of God. Because that's what you are. You are His light reflected, His Spirit reflected forward. It says, that day the gift of the Spirit to the person is a part that of the diamond, see? It's part of God. Christ is the diamond, the master. So if that was part of God, what do you think is in a little piece of the same diamond? What do you think is in a spoon of water of the ocean? The same thing that is in the whole ocean, right? The same thing. You are just a piece, a cut. But everything that He is, you are. See, I'm saying I'm being brought down and brought into the gifts to interpret the preach, the teaching. There is 5 spiritual gifts, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, and they are all for the edifying of the body. And just as sure, they are teachers and pastors, they are got to be prophets. We know that. But he's not only talking about this gift. Also, there's 12 gifts in the bride. I mean, in the people. So those gifts are just as important. Let me say something here. I think I got time. Let me see what time my computer said. Yeah, okay. The Urim Thummim, Brother mentioned it this morning. They are made out of stones. Jasper, yeah. Sapphire. You know, jasper is just like a crystalline clear, like a diamond, but it's not. Then they got some different colors. There's 12 stones. And that used to be the Urim Thummim. That is put in the chest of the priest. You know, they have and put all the stone. And if somebody have a word from God, or somebody had something, you know, they bring them to the thing, and then they put them in front of all these priests with those 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes. Everyone had a stone. And then he can prophesy. He can say, but this is what God told me. And what happened when the word of God go forward? If it's the word of God, remember, the word of God is light. Amen. It bounces in and comes back out with what? Flashing lights.
Amen.
Those 12 stones represents gift. The 12 gifts of God. There's 12. In fact, Corinthians has 9, and you go to Rome and you pick up a couple of more. So it's about 12 gifts. So when the word of God is preached to the pulpit by the minister, what do you think it should happen out there?
Amen.
The vindication is that word that is like should strike you and you should flash back.
Yes.
You know? That's the vindication that yes, it's working. Whatever gift you have, it will flash back. Because that gift is what keeps the church clean. It's not the pastor. Amen. But if I'm talking a word that is not come from God, you know, the gift are going to sit there and I'm going to say, okay, yeah, right. They're not going to flash. What do you think your brother Dawson preached over here and says, oh, yeah, I feel it. I feel it. Something is not flashing back. But when you're preaching like now, I'm so comfortable preaching because I get flashbacks. See, the light goes forward. It hits you, Brother Calvo, and it flashes back to me. Amen. See, that's just a bonus one. Let's just leave it over there. And I will believe that God is to be manifest in the last days. Well, we know that. Among his people, to the elect, seed according to the Bible, in the form of a prophet. And we have a prophet that exactly with the word. Not that man is God, but that the gift is God. So the gift is God. It's not you. God has given gift, but that's God. See? And that's the needle. I'm just a little needle right now. I'm singing, God. Singing everything that God put on me, I'm singing. See? I'm not a good singer, but hey, I'm trying my best. And that's the needle. See? Now, a pin won't play that record. A pin will not play that record. So, a regular sewing needle will not play that right. But a diamond. See, something that came from him, and we go back to him, we play.
Amen.
The Bible exactly the way it meant to be. Amen. It says, a diamond is best. It says, a clear diamond pointed needles. 11, it says, 111 says, may God tonight, see, tonight, you record of life. You are a record, you know, of life. I hope you're playing the right music. Because when you play the right music, anything can happen. Life flashes. The supernatural. The miracles. You know, everything happens. That's why we have to come to church with the right spirit and the right attitude. Because I want to get a response. You are the only one that can vindicate what I'm preaching. With an amen. You can point to an amen. And that flashes back to me. See? But it's not me. It is that the word is, you know, doing what it's supposed to do.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever that you, may God tonight, your record of life, whatever what's wrong with you, whatever you are desiring from God, may the great master who holds the needle in his hands, may he put upon his life, reveal to us what you are here for. what you want, then we will know that here, he is here. The only way that you and I are going to know that he's, we're not going to see it visible, but if we see him doing what he did yesterday, doing it right now, and he will do it tomorrow.
Amen.
Can you imagine going to a service and nothing happens, no healing, no, God is not speaking to anybody, people that are lost and undone, they don't come to Christ. That is what we know, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is sliding the life of somebody else. See? This is not a game. This is life and death, actually. And that's what we want. We want God to do his work, but we have to do ours too, right? Brother Branham says, God keep his word. And another thing that I know, that by grace of God, there's something that comes to me in the form of an angel of light. Okay, I read you this one, Anyway. But the reason I wanted to do this one, I want you to look at the end of it. I want to make emphasis. It says, it shows me things years to come, and not one time he has ever failed. I believe it's the same God that was with Joseph, Daniel, Elijah. I believe that it's the same Holy Spirit that led the children of Israel, the pillar of fire. Now, I'm glad he mentioned this Joseph. Remember Joseph? That his daddy loved him so much. That he made him what? A coat of seven colors. Well, what do you think that represents? The covenant. The covenant that God made with Abraham, with Isaac, with them. That God was able to keep them and protect them and bring them forward. See? He is the one that watched over that covenant. In fact, he said, I will do this. I will do that. I will send you, but I will do that. Because the first covenant, it failed. So it represents God's favor. And the seven colors remind us of the nature and character of God. And his plan of redemption. The seven colors in a rainbow, that's the same color that was in Joseph. That's the same seven colors that was in Jesus Christ. Remember chapter Revelation 1 to see, we saw that angel that with a what? With a rainbow over his, because he has made a covenant with you and with me. A new covenant on his blood, on his flesh. See, he made a covenant. And every time that is a covenant, there is a color. There is a rainbow of colors. So when you flash in rainbow colors, that means God is going to respect that covenant. See? With you. Revelation 10:7. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. He was robed in a cloth with rainbow above his head. See, that is the covenant. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. And he made a new covenant with you and me. See, and that's what the rainbow signified. It represents all those covenants. See, above his head, his face was like a sun. Again, light, bright light. And he says we're like a fire. See, where God is, there's fire. People don't like much fire, but I don't care. Well, I like what Brother Doug says. I prefer to have one fire than have no fire at all, because at least I know God is in here. What would you like, paint a fire? What can paint a fire can produce? You cannot reflect painted fire. And that's what the domination have, painted fire. And everybody's looking at the fire. I feel the heat. Oh. That's not real. But see, the fire that I'm talking about is a real fire. See? That will change you. That will transform you. That will produce his life in you. That it makes you reflect his life. See? So we... The diamonds also, they have another characteristic. They have a multifacet. They call them multifacets. And I like to explore that right quickly. Ephesians 3:8 says, although I am the less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given unto me to preach the Gentile the boundaries, the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of the mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was to know, his purpose was that know through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heaven. See? So, you are a reflecting light from God. See? And the manifold, like a diamond, is calling multi faces. So you, as a body of Christ, we individuals, but we are the multifold. So God can show what? His nature. God can let the nature of God to flow. So Satan had to be put in notice. He said, so we can show God should be made known to the rulers and authorities. Where? In heavenly realm. Satan, we push your notice. We're going up, you're going down. Why? Because we are. We are God, Jesus Christ, you know, again, in flesh. The bride is Christ in flesh. To show Satan the multi-wisdom, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the gift of God. Brother Branham says in Hebrews chapter 1, now, each one of those lights represents gift. See? But it's only Christ is the diamond. And he was the one who came and was bruised and wounded and chipped that he might reflect himself back as a light to the world. Jesus Christ was the light to the world. But he's not here no longer physically. So who is the light of the world now? Christ in you. That's why he said, you are the light of the world. See? Brother Barron says in gift, said, see, the big diamond, for those one is giving knowledge, for some other one is giving wisdom, for other one is giving gift of healing, other prophecies, other spirit, and the same spirit, that great diamond, and the big ray of light that we see should this way and should that way and declare one thing, there is a God that lives and reigns forever. Amen. Amen. You know, either we're going to have God in our midst or we are not. We waste our time. But we know that God is in our midst. Why? Because we see the light. Some people have seen the light. And I'm not saying that we concentrate in seeing the light like Brother Brown, Brother Doug was saying this morning. You know? But Brother Branham took a picture with the light, you know, with that white light. You know? And in some instances in the services, we see the flashing light. Not everybody can see it. God only opened the doors that God gave to see those things. But to show us that he is here. Yeah. That the light is here. Yeah. The white light is here. So he can shine through us, through all those gifts. See? As long as you see those things in operation, here's the whole thing. Know that God is still in the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, if God is not doing that today, then we just a dead church. I'm expecting when I come to church to see the same thing that he did when he was in earth. If not, then it's the gift and God is not in operation. I'm not looking for feeling like that. I'm looking for emotion. But I'm looking for God to vindicate himself that he's here. Amen. See? Because that means we're still in operation. It says, now God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. John 14:12, verily, truly, I tell you, whosoever believes in me shall do the works that I've been doing. And they will not even, and will do even greater things than this, because I am going to the Father. So what is your expectation? Our expectation is to continue and finish the work. The who? That he started. So he has to equip you with everything that you have need to do this. See? So the God that was in him is in you. To give you whatever you have need, give to finish the work. To find the last one so we can get out of here. But the Bible says in law and having a shadow, that's the way it is with the born-again Christian. It says, with the born-again Christian, when they are giving a life of testimony or doing something like that, giving their testimony, living a life of Christ, it is not the individual. It is the Holy Spirit reflecting back his light on that individual, making him a light to shine. So young people, if you don't have the Holy Spirit and your life is not going that way, then you need something. Something is missing. It's not God, because the Holy Ghost, it makes you act like God. He said the Holy Spirit is reflecting back his light on the individual, making him a light to shine. And as long as that nightingale is a bird, could see one star shining, he would sing. And I excuse this expression, but as long as I can hear God, hearty amen, I told you, see. The other day, Brother Doe has to kind of scold us for going to sleep. Not you, it was just a spirit of slumber. But you cannot respond back to. The word's trying to light you, life up and trying to wake you up, and nothing comes back. It came back something, but it wasn't what he wanted. So that is not him. That is the gift. That's God. You know, in the man, he says, his spirit, Holy Spirit, reflecting back his light on the individual, making him a light to shine. As long as this bird could see the star shining, he will sing. Excuse my expression, but as long as I can hear God hearty amen, once in a while, I know Christ still live and reign in his church. You know how I know that God present and he reigns in this church? It's when his people respond to the word of God. Because you're not responding to the preacher. You're responding to him. But as long as you can hear good, hearty, amen, once in a while, I know Christ still lives and reigns in his church. When you can hear something that reflects something about the gospel, a reflection back, coming back, or how you can watch God if you just watch the elements of nature. Or nature. One more. I got a few more. What is it? The morning star. The church of the living God today, who the watchman on the tower warning the nations and the people. He stands alone. A man that stands for God stands alone. It doesn't matter who is doing what. What is doing when you don't care. Well, the only thing I care is what God is doing with me. Amen. See? Because I want his reflection. I don't want somebody else's reflection. Stand alone. The man stands with God, stands alone. But what is he doing? He is reflecting the same light of the sun that went down years ago and it raised again. What is that true church ministry? The ministry of that church will be the ministry of the Son of God. Amen. The same ministry that he started, greater thing we will do. So if we are not here to do the ministry that he started, then what are we doing? Right. He says, the ministry of the Son, because it's a reflection of the same power, of the same light. Yeah. He said, that the world will know when the sun rises, S-O-N, not S-U-N, rises, what it will look like. You got that? We cannot see him. Visible, we cannot see it. But when he rises in his people, we can tell who he is and who we are. Because he will do the same thing that he did yesterday. He'll do it today. So we know it's him. It's nobody else. Oh, for a church today, someone who will stand in the tower watchman, what of the night? The morning star is shining and is ready to reflect in the light of the sun's shining on the star. Now, it is in the church. It's not the person. It is the sun that reflecting on the star that reflect on the sunlight to the earth. See, the moon has no light. And the bright is the type of the moon. But the sun is what is reflecting on the moon. So you and I, we're not reflecting our own light. And we're not reflecting somebody else's revelations. We want to reflect the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he will be the same today and yesterday and forever in this congregation. Because the same thing he did yesterday, then he's going to start doing today. Amen. Is that the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Son of God, that's reflecting in the church, that is providing his power. He's doing exactly the same thing, the same ministry he did when he left the earth. He's here tonight doing the same thing. What was the brother that testified this morning? That the MRI of... Okay. God is the same God. I can testify all night on all the things that he just done about a year ago, now 40 years ago. Because if God is not doing something to you today, I mean, what, that's the God of yesterday? My God is a God, he's an ever-present God. So he's doing for me today what he did yesterday, and he will do it again and again and again and again and again. See? He's doing exactly the same thing, the same ministry he did when he left the earth. He's here tonight. Doing the same thing, reflecting his coming, reflecting what? Not the paleness of the moon, but reflecting the same signs. This sign shall follow those that believe. So he's reflecting the same thing he did. That's the kind of church I want to be. That's the kind of church I want to belong to. Not a dead church. I want a church that is alive and well and is reflecting the Son of God.
Amen.
Same signs. He says, what come to pass? Not the moon, not the star, not the morning star, hail, the coming of the sun. Oh, you morning star, rise and shine. It is time to shine.
Amen.
Listen, it is time to shine. So you're going to have to lay in the sun, even if it makes you toasty like me, you know. And the S-O-N, you have to lay there. You pray and you read the Bible and you ripe. And then you can produce the same life.
Amen.
Reflecting his presence, reflecting the oncoming sun, giving the same signs Jesus said it was. And it was in the day of Sodom, I will be the same thing in the coming of the Son of Man. The same ministry that the sun went down, the same light went down, is coming again in the resurrection power and in the morning star, reflecting the light. Then we cry, watchman, what of the night? Hallelujah, he says.
Amen.
That's what I'm expecting to see.
Amen.
I'm expecting to see God in the same power, in the same majesty that he had yesterday. In his church. I don't like a dead church. I don't want a dead church. I want a church that is alive and well. And all the signs are again. He says they will come because he's here. He's here. But the Bible said, would the bride of Christ have a ministry before the rapture? Sure. That's what's going on right now. That was back then. What year was this one? In 63. What about now? If that was back in 63, of course, he's talking about his ministry. That was going on right now. But he's out of the way. Now, the gifts are not, but he, you know, the person of Brother Brian is out. But the gift follow, and greater signs she will do. You know, I'm glad I'm not glad, but if God would not take Brother Brian out when he did, we would be still looking at him. Every time we had a need, every time we had a problem, or a sick, we would go and try to find Brother Brown to pray for us and to do and do. But we needed to grow. So he takes him away, and it's time, and been years now. So right now we should be in the same position, in the same ministry that he had then, that the Holy Spirit had through him, to the church.
Amen.
Not just one person, because this gift is just among the people, dispersed. Sure, that's the way it's going on right now. See, the bride of Christ, certainly, it is the message of the hour. See, the bride of Christ, sure. She consists of apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. Is that right? That's the bride of Christ, sure. She got a ministry, great ministry, the ministry of the hour. It will be what? It will not be a show. You will be humble. It will be so humble that some people will just, it goes right over the head. You know? Who is this? Who is this? Oh God, be merciful. Who is this that doing this? Could you dare to say it was your pastor? Never. Could you dare to say man had anything to do? Never. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that was on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming to unite himself with what? With the church. It is so close. This was back in 59. It is so close. So today is close. He's spreading forth his great holy light to redeem and to bring into fellowship a church of the living God for the rapture near hand. So before the rapture, it will be that kind of a ministry. See? Amen. And I'm concluding right now. I think, I don't know, I got some time. Give me a few more minutes. What? We see the great end time, the flashing red lights everywhere, open nature. We see nature flashing the light. The time is at hand. We see upon the church flashing lights. She's condemned. The time is at hand. She is in the world. We see it upon the skies, upon the seas, upon the nations, upon everywhere. The sun, the moon, the star. We are seeing the sign of his coming. We had not too long ago an eclipse. And it was all total darkness. Well, I showed you in the beginning. We had a little light showing. But it's going to be total darkness as soon as she gets raptured. And that's where we are right now. It says, nations open everywhere. War, rumors of war, pestilences, earthquake, volcanoes. We got all the signs right on top of us. So what the church is supposed to be doing? Emerging. A church with power.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. With the same ministry.
Amen.
See? Again, John 1:9 said, that was the true light which gave light to every man coming unto the world. That was Jesus Christ. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, Jesus Christ no longer physically with us, that light of the world is gone. But now you become the light of the world today. So the same thing he did, we should do also. Because it is him in us flashing that light. See? It says, you are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot. Do not hide them. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Let your light shine.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't even let that devil trying to scare you. Because he knows what you got. And he's trying to play you out. You know, because he don't want you to know who you are. Because as soon as you find out who you are, he's done. Let your shine. Let your light shine. See? And if you cannot explain how that light, how it started burning on you, at least you can explain why. And how it's burning, you know, are not the same, you know. God has changed me. That light has come to me. I'm not the same. I'm a new creature in Christ. Maybe you don't know the miracle of God coming and forgiving your sins and changing you and transforming you.
Amen.
But you can see the change.
Amen.
In you. And that is your testimony.
Yes.
That God is living in you. And that light is there. What is the nature of this? It is Jesus. Look, how many believe that Jesus Christ was the angel of the covenant? Right, he has the angel. He said, the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. If you believe the Bible, he said, I am the I am, so that he was the I am. Now, he was on earth, and he said, I came from God, and I will return to God. Is that right? You know, I come from God, and I go to God. After his death, burial, and resurrection. Now what? That light did when it was in Jesus. That signs how he looked out and perceived their thoughts and told me who they were and what, so forth, proving that he was the Messiah. Now, When that, after his death and burial and resurrection, he returned back to God the Father. See? John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light. That light has returned again. That light has returned again. And it's here tonight. Amen. And if a man is born of the Spirit, he will search the scripture to see if it is, this is the answer for today. The answer of the day is Christ. Christ is the Word. When the Word comes to life, that's what I want. I don't want to be a dead Christian sitting in a pew all the rest of my life. I want to come alive. It says, when it comes to life, it shows the light that promised for that day. See? In this dark Laodicean age, just a few, as many as I receive, I chasten, I rebuke, repent, Jesus said, and return back. Turn to the Word. He is the Word. Come to Him. Another one quickly, and I know we are right back like all nature, acting right back to the original seed, right from one church age to another. And in this last age here, here we are, right back to the original. Amen. See? Amen. Then, the thing that fell on the day of Pentecost, that fulfilled every scripture, the light in the evening time, and the works that I do, you shall do also. Amen. So if we are not seeing the same ministry, the same work today, we are wasting our time. Because it is promised that it is supposed to return. Yes. One more thing, and we're almost there. We are so dangerously there. Thessalonians 5:5. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, not of the darkness. 2 Peter 1, it says, grace and peace be yours, and abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge in Him, call us by His own glory and goodness. You ain't got no excuses. Everything that you have need is in the Holy Spirit. To do what I just went through, it's in you. He says, through this, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in His divine nature. Having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desire. And that little thing there is the statue. Come down a little bit. No, the other way. That's all. I went up. Okay. For me, I'm backwards. Right there. Yeah, my wife gets confused because I undo the computer and I say, come down, and then she starts going up. No. The screen goes down, but that's what I'm talking about, you know, because I'm backwards. Anyway. And she said, no, that's up. No, that's down. Yeah, but the screen goes up. Yeah, but I went down. Oh, my goodness. Grace and peace. And then I read that. But anyway, I wanted to show you that because that is the statue of the perfect man. And I put that rainbow, see, on top of there because that's the covenant that God has made with you. Everything that you have need is right there. Amen. And you don't have to worry because He will bring that into your life. Amen. You know, I start with faith and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and goodness and brotherly love and then the capstone. God has made that covenant with you. Amen. See? He's going to build you up and everything that you need to bring you to a perfect man, mature. One more thing and we are done. And that's what Ephesians 4:13 says. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. You cannot have all this that I just spoken to you and don't have unity. This is not just a one-man show. All this thing that God is doing is to bring his body one together. Because that's where the power is.
Yes.
See? It says, till we come to the unity of faith. That's what God detests, you know, discord and separation. Because he wants to bring the bride together. Satan is trying to keep it apart. It says, unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Not the fullness of Christ in one person. As a body, we can have the fullness of Christ. If we can come and unite together. 2 Corinthians 3, do we begin again to commend ourselves? No. Or do we need as some other epistle for commendation to you or letter of commendation from you? Never. You are our epistle. You are the letters written in flesh, stones written in your heart. Now, and read by all men. How do people know that you are really a Christian? Not because you tell it. It's because you live it. I like to see a sermon live. And that is the kind of life God wants to produce through you. God wants to shine the light of his word through you so you can reflect that light back to the world. And that's why they know that you are a Christian. Yeah. Not because you, it's because they see him in you. Amen. It says, if you are a epistle written in our hearts, now and read by all men. Now, my question will be, what is people reading in your life, in your faces, when they see you? Did they see a sour pause or somebody that is happy? Even when the chaos has happened, even the way, when you got whatever you got situation, what are they seeing? They're watching you. Once you walk out that door, people keep an eye on you because you're saying you are a Christian and they want to see what a Christian is. Because they don't have a clue. But you're going to show them what a Christian is. They're going to see the life of Christ back in this age through you. You are an epistle written among men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, a minister by us, by the word. You know, we minister the word. And the word should produce Christ. That's what just brother was talking this morning. That's why we come to church. We minister the word and the word takes flesh. Ministered by us, written not with inks, but by the Holy Spirit, see, by the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but in tablets of flesh, in your soul. That is of the heart. And we have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as we being from ourselves. We are nothing. Without him, we are nothing. Seep, gone, dust, a little worm, you know, slot that Brother Doug always talks about. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from what? From God. Amen. Who also made us sufficient as minister of the new covenant in Christ Jesus. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, and Brother Doug spent time on that. But the Spirit give what? What life? His life. Amen. Done. Fini. Rise. Rise. Your life has come. And the glory of the Lord shall be seen in you. Amen. That's where we are tonight. Arise. Let's sing that song. Arise and shine for your life. Your life has come. Victoria. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Amen.
Oh, here she comes. Now, Luke, you better come and help me because you know me. I'm not a singer. That's not my gift. I don't even know what's my gift. I want to sing, but you're going to help me. Just start me. Okay. Arise. All your light has gone. Come on, sing it like you mean it.
Arise, shine, for the light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord.
Cannot put the light out. It's just the other way around. So don't be afraid. You know, people are looking for hope. Without Christ, shine your light wherever you go. School, at work. Oh. What a time we are living. Amen. Let us pray right quick. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for the strength. Thank you, Father, for the energy that you give me, Father, to deliver the message that you have put in my heart. Father, because it's not me, it all is you, Father. You are my strength. You are my energy, my vigor. You are everything that I have need right now, Father. And we thank you, Father, for your word. The word is light, Father. It's a lamp unto our feet. It will light our way, Father. And not only that, but that light that comes into our hearts, it will shine back to someone else to find his way, Father. Help us, Father, to testify with our life that we believe, Father, that we are in the end times and we are ministering in the same way it was back when Brother Branham. We are not living this God a day with Brother Branham. The same God that was in him is here right now in his people doing the same thing today. Father, and help us, Lord, to surrender our life, to yield our life, and let the life and the light of this gospel shine to us, Father. We love you, and we thank you for all you have done. Father, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory that you deserve. In Jesus' name, we ask you. What is that song that's called... Star the list. What is that? No. Yeah, can we sing that one? I like that one too. Yeah, I'm gonna let you do it.